part of CUNA Mutual Groups. We're actually in the studios here at CUNA Mutual Group in Madison, Wisconsin. And in the studio lounge here is Mr. Eric Earle from CUNA Mutual Group. How are you, Eric?
Great, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Doing all right.
Good. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. It's been a couple of years. Last time we spoke, it was, 2 years ago, Maui, at the Directors Conference, I think it was?
Yeah, we should really make it a point to make that our, our meeting spot every time.
I agree. That was a lot of fun, for sure. Hey, this time around, we're talking about executive benefits and being less expensive than folks might think. But before we get started into that, is there some preconceived notion that executive benefits are like outrageously expensive, or what's the original thought here?
I think, you know, when boards think benefits, they think expense.
Right.
You know, health insurance premiums continue to rise rapidly. Just the cost of benefits and other insurance in general, you know, boards are used to those price tags going up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start to dive into executive benefits, I think the natural reaction is this could cost a lot. We're talking about adding compensation, adding benefits to our most critical employees. And I think that the perception by nature is just it's going to cost a lot.
Right, right.
And what boards find is when we start looking at the ways that these plans are funded, they can actually be a lot less expensive than a board might think.
Okay. Well, before we get into that, I want to first visit about the importance of executive benefits today, especially in today's tight marketplace, because unemployment obviously is at all-time low, which is great for people looking for jobs or people in jobs, but for companies looking for, it's the other way around, unfortunately. So how important are executive or offering executive benefits to folks out there right now, especially for credit unions?
I think the landscape has definitely changed. When I got into the credit union executive benefit business 10 years ago or so, a lot of the conversation was around supplementing qualified retirement plans, helping executives hit their retirement income goals.
Mm-hmm.
The focus was more, it seemed to be more around providing that additional retirement benefit. More recently here, I'd say in the last 5 years or so, we've really started to see more of a focus on retention.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, the labor market's tight. I think we see 10,000 baby boomers retiring a day.
Mm-hmm.
That has created a lot of competition for talent. When an executive leaves one credit union, whether it's retirement or to another, you know, position, that can create a ripple effect down the organization,
mm-hmm.
Make other people happy or disappointed, depending on how that succession plays out. And credit unions also spend a lot of time and resources training those future leaders, and they're looking to protect that asset,
no doubt,
and protect that investment in their mm-hmm. leadership. So we're seeing credit unions go deeper into the C-suite to try to retain. We're seeing more employment contracts include those retirement executive benefit plans again mm-hmm. in a effort to retain that new employee mm-hmm. that next leader. So definitely, when you look at the compensation report statistics, when you look at the 5300 report statistics, more credit unions are setting up 457F plans and split dollar mm-hmm. plans to mm-hmm. try to retain, as well as what they've been used for historically, which is to, you know, provide the additional retirement income benefits and provide that reward for the long term.
Well, there's a whole new meaning, it sounds like, with executive benefits now, as opposed to what it was 10 years ago when you first started.
We've always talked about the retirement, the R's, right? Reward. Retire, but the retention has become mm-hmm. A much more important part of the conversation.
Okay. Let's get to the cost effectiveness now, because obviously there is an expense, obviously, but in order to get that top talent or retain that top talent, this is the kind of stuff that you have to offer, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about the cost here. Now, it's a lot less than you think or than people might think. So what's the background there?
It comes down to how the plans are funded, and the NCUA rules and most state rules align with the NCUA through federal parity. The plans can be funded through assets that, you know, we commonly refer to as non-703 assets, investments like equities, corporate bonds, mutual funds, insurance products, annuities. Credit unions normally can't buy those assets,
mm-hmm.
but the NCUA allows credit unions to establish those investments, those non-703 assets, if they're used to offset the cost of an employee or an executive benefit plan.
Mm-hmm.
So almost every credit union will establish an investment strategy that aligns with the rest of their investment strategy, but ones that are in the non-703 arena that allow for a greater return to help offset the cost of that plan. So in theory, you take a lower yielding CD that matures, reallocated into a longer term vehicle that aligns with the deferred comp plan, for example, mm-hmm. And the additional earnings that can be generated from that investment strategy help pay for that additional benefit. Okay. So you have the ability to mitigate the majority or potentially offset all the cost of that plan. The other avenue credit unions have is split dollar life insurance. And the way split dollar plans are funded through loans from the credit union to the employee to help fund the life insurance plan that provides the retirement benefit, that has a favorable impact to the credit union's financial statement as well. And that loan oftentimes has an interest rate associated with mm-hmm. that, so that asset can actually create interest income along the way. And I think that, along with the tax efficiency of split dollar or the life insurance plan policies funding split dollar, mm-hmm. is what has made that become a very popular option in the industry recently. More recently, I should say.
So, this is even more incentive to offer these things to executives out there who either want to keep them again or attract them into their credit union. So, how can boards learn more about this these benefits? Where can they go to learn more about this stuff? I mean, obviously, Keene Mitchell Group, yep. Great resource.
We have a ton of resources out there. We've done a lot of work recently to enhance our thought leadership around executive benefits. A couple of years ago, in partnership with CUES, we authored an ebook that really is a comprehensive guide for boards to use to evaluate all the options that are out there. It gives background on all the different plans. It gives some case studies on how credit unions have used those plans. Mm-hmm. That ebook is a great resource. There's a lot of other thought leadership out there. But I think that the biggest way for boards to really dive into it is start having conversations with a provider like CUNY Mutual Group, mm-hmm. or another trusted partner, mm-hmm. That has expertise in this topic. Executive deferred compensation isn't a competency of most board members. Most board members come from for-profit entities, right. Or they just haven't had the exposure to executive benefit plans. Mm-hmm. So, working with a trusted advisor like CUNY Mutual Group to get a lot of that information, mm-hmm. to get an understanding of the plans, the options. And then they can start taking that information and tailor a plan to make sense for their executive team.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of information out there, a lot of ways credit unions can do that due mm-hmm. diligence. They can dive in and figure out what's right for them. It just takes a little bit of homework and guidance from a partner like us to get them to those resources and start devising a plan.
Well, doing that homework is going to pay off in the long run, because they're going to get somebody that they want, or they're going to keep somebody that they want. So, and that person's going to want to stay. So,
absolutely.
Because they're going to be offering them the right stuff. And so this knowledge allows them to make the right decision or a better decision. Is that fair assessment?
Yeah, I joke that it's an art, not a science. Yeah. And there's not a perfect formula for everybody. That cookie cutter, whatever cliche you want to mm-hmm. add. Mm-hmm. It is truly an individual plan for each credit union, because they're all different. Mm-hmm. Their executive teams are all different. Mm-hmm. Their compensation philosophies might all be different. So it's a process of kind of taking what's out there and then filtering down into what fits our credit union, what fits our philosophy,
right.
and then how are we going to manage that as things evolve? Because that's going to be certainly inevitable. Mm-hmm. Leadership's going to evolve.
Oh, yeah.
Regs might evolve. Tax codes are going to change.
True.
And that highlights the other reason why you really want to partner with somebody that's going to help you throughout the life of the mm-hmm. plan as things change.
Yeah, and I would think other credit unions too would be a great resource who may have gone through a similar circumstance with one of their executives. You can, let's go talk to them down the street. Because, that's one of credit union superpowers is being able to collaborate. So I think going down the street to your neighbor and go, hey, what did you guys do in this instance? We're going through it right now.
You hit the nail on the head. That cooperative spirit, mm-hmm. Remains strong. And talking to other credit unions, other peers about what they've done, what's worked, what hasn't, that's a great resource. In addition to, there's vendors out there that have expertise in compensation mm-hmm. consulting mm-hmm. and executive placement. Those are other good, you know, good avenues to look for information around this.
So what's the significance of being well-informed in this area? I mean, I think we both know the answer. I just want to hear your take on it.
It sounds really simple, but I believe that people make really good decisions when they're well-informed. And in today's day and age, you know, we've got our cell phones, we've got all this information at our fingertips, but sometimes we choose not to go out and find, you know, find the answers, believe it or not. So I think it's just a process of going out and taking all those resources, whatever avenue you feel makes the most sense for your organization, for your board, for your planning committee, whatever, whoever's designing the plan or managing the plan. It's just really going out and doing your homework and then documenting it.
Yeah.
You know, the NCUA state examiners, they're really looking for that documentation. They want you to build that due diligence file. And that's a process from kind of beginning to end. When you're going out and doing that initial research, finding out what options are out there, that's a great time to start building that due diligence file, adding to it along the way. You know, after you implement the plan, then you've got, you know, the task of the board has the task of administering that plan throughout its life. And that expectation to continue to do your homework isn't going to go away. Yeah. So it's good to start that due diligence file early.
And as you're talking about this, doesn't this set you up for the next time this happens? Because you've already got a kind of a process in place, a template, so to speak, for the next leader or the next decision, similar decision that you got to make.
Absolutely. You know, and boards turnover, right?
Yeah.
So to your, you know, you make a great point
in that, this stuff,
that having that documentation in place, setting a process for that continued monitoring, having not necessarily set in stone, but having an idea of when we have turnover, because that's going to happen natural or forced. And how is the board going to handle that? And and having that process in place makes it a lot easier.
Yep, I totally agree. All right, sir. Anything else to add to this all important and super timely topic here?
Anything else to add? That's a big question. I've got a lot.
Very
I can
open-ended.
Add. Yeah.
But if you could summarize it down to.
Yeah, so summarizing it down to what I think is most important. Some of it we've talked about already, you know, do your homework, but customize the plan for what's right for the credit union and for those individuals. You know, credit unions can not only customize their plan, but they can customize for each individual. And we've got a lot of flexibility to create a mutually beneficial plan that is significant for that executive in a personal way, and going through the process, evaluating the options, and then tailoring it to not only the credit union but to each individual in the credit union is going to give that executive benefit plan its best chance of being successful in accomplishing its goal. And that's the one thing I didn't really hit on. I think it starts with identifying what is our goal for each of those individuals, and then the plan kind of comes through that research, comes through understanding the options and determining for that individual, for the goal, retention, reward, retirement income, what's the right mix of benefits.
Right, and it's more affordable than you think. All right, Eric, this is a super timely topic, obviously, and any final words to wrap up here? Anything to summarize what we talked about here?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I had to sit in front of a board and give them just a couple quick pieces of advice, I'd really suggest that they start with a goal. When you start with that goal in mind, what are we trying to accomplish with our executive benefit plans? Are we trying to retain somebody? Are we trying to reward a long-term CEO?
Right.
Do we have a succession event coming up? When you start with the goal, it helps you filter through all that information, all that due diligence with that goal in mind. I feel it helps a credit union get to that customized plan quicker and build a plan that's truly meaningful to both parties to help the credit union accomplish that goal and to help the executive achieve those financial goals that are important to them. In addition to that, I think it's just critical for the board to partner with a trusted firm like CUNA Mutual Group that they know is going to be there throughout the life of the plan. Things change. I don't have to tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Last time we talked, I had brown hair. You know, tax codes change, regs change, state examiners' requirements might change. Things are going to change. Economies are going to change. Interest rates change. You want to partner with a vendor that is going to help you navigate that change, mm-hmm. and is going to help you throughout the life of that plan.
Yeah.
So start with a goal, do that due diligence, and partner with a firm that is going to help you navigate through that change.
Indeed. Great message to end on. A very dynamic topic for sure, because it's always evolving, like you say. So
yeah, good stuff. Some credit unions hate that, but I think that's what keeps my job fun. Keeps me on my toes.
Indeed. Every day is an adventure. All right, Eric, yes. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
the time.
Mike.
Good job. Keep up the good work, all right?
Thank you.
Well Take done. Care. There he is, Eric Earle, everybody. CUNA Mutual Group.